Continuing working through the book of Exodus, we are in chapter 31 now, starting with verse 12. Exodus chapter 31, starting with verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God." Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for having given us your word. Please help us now to turn our attention to you, to understand the depth of your thoughts towards us, for they are very great. Give us joy in your commandment. Give us joy in the truth. Give us joy in the opportunity to serve you and to walk with you, that you will be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up, I was not a child who paid attention to simple instruction. There was much that I should have learned and I did not learn. I did not learn to change my oil. I did not learn to check my oil. And I'm sure it's not because my father never told me, check your oil and change your oil. It resulted in problems in my life. I did not listen to sound instruction in my life, and I have had cars burn up because I was foolish and I did not listen. For the rest of us, we could take these applications and the same idea, and we could each look at ways in our lives that we have not listened to simple instruction, and we can see areas of our lives have been burned up. Areas of our lives have been wasted. Areas of our lives have been hurt. We come to the scripture and we look at the commandments of God and we see that we have been given instruction that is life, that is help for us, help for our souls, help for our testimonies. Now, as the Lord brings these commandments to us, should we look at these commandments and say, too burdensome? Too burdensome. Shall we take a law and say, no, it's too much. It's too much to check my oil. It's too much to change my oil. It's not worth it. And we look and we have a car that's burned up. How many of us could look at our lives and see when we hadn't kept the Sabbath? If you have been in that place, you have found yourself burned up. You have found yourself used up. We have found ourselves not walking in life. Well, the Sabbath is one of these commandments, and we talk about it as a part of the moral law. The Ten Commandments are the summary of the moral law. What it looks like for us to be loving God, what it looks like for us to be loving our neighbors. And there's a danger and a threat in our lives whenever our lives are not ordered in accordance with love. When your life is not ordered in accordance with true biblical love, your life starts to fall apart. So the call tonight is, you shall surely observe His Sabbath. It's striking here, and as well as in other places, the Sabbath is called the Lord's. Exodus 31:13, but as for you, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath. My Sabbath. Somebody pointed out today, and it's probably a mark of pride for me that you'll have, maybe you can forgive me of. I was very glad to find out that I didn't know that it's Super Bowl Sunday. I didn't know. And I'm glad that I didn't know. Because this is the Lord's day. This is His day. It belongs to Him. Now, we would hear that and we would say, right, good, because you're here and you're not off somewhere eating a hoagie and watching the Super Bowl. That's great. Because we understand that it's His day. Now, this being His day, we could look through and we see in verse 17, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. This is a part of the creation ordinance. When we went through this in the Ten Commandments, we talked about the Sabbath being a part of the grain of creation. If you think of a piece of wood, it's in there. It's a part of creation, and we live it out as a part of creation. So it's a part of the moral law. We see it's placed in the judicial law. In Exodus 16:23, and we see that it has a heavy weight to it. Those who broke it were to be killed. That's rough. That's rough. I mean, if we were here and someone was breaking the Sabbath, do we grab them and drag them out the back doors and try to find pieces of gravel big enough to stone them? We don't. But they were supposed to. There was enough weight to the Sabbath. It belonged to them, to Him rather, for them to observe it and to keep it. Psalm 92 was that place where we sang this morning, or this evening rather, that it is a song for the Sabbath day. When people say that the Sabbath is undone, one of my favorite places to turn is Matthew 24:20. In that passage, Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And He was saying that when this happens, and Jesus knew that it was going to happen after the resurrection, He said, pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Pray that it's not that day. And we see the Sabbath continuing then. In Isaiah 58:13-14, He calls it again, my holy day. It is His. And in Revelation 1:10, John talks about being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What day is it? It's the Lord's day. What day is this? It is the Sabbath. It is our ceasing day. It is the Christian Sabbath. And if I had my way, if I were king of the earth, it wouldn't be Sunday anymore. It would not be the day of the sun. Or I would just change the spelling to S-O-N-D-A-Y. It's His day. It belongs to Him. The Sabbath is the Lord's. Our next step, number two, is treat your treatment of the Sabbath as a sign. Verse 13, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you. So what you do on the Sabbath announces your relationship one way or the other. If you say, and you call the Sabbath a delight, and you say, I am going to keep this day in accordance with His commands, this is a sign that says, I'm His. He is my King. I follow Him. Now, this sign that is between us, it demonstrates it to the rest of the world also. The nature of your relationship with Him. Is He your Lord or isn't He? What is the nature of the relationship? Jesus had made the statement, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Is He the Lord? This is that sign. Maybe you've seen those shirts that say, I'm with stupid. I think I've seen those. People wear them around Roger's flea market, for example, when there's two people walking around. I'm with stupid. Well, this is not, this is the opposite of that. It says, I'm with the King. I'm with Jesus, so I keep his day. So verse, we continue on now in verse 13 for our third step. Do it and know who he is. Again, verse 13. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Again, what does it mean for him to be your Lord? What does it mean? And as we testify in the world, what does it mean to say that Jesus is the Lord? Other than to say he has all authority on heaven and earth, and he has authority over my life, that is, over the ways that I spend my time, and I do what he says I am to do. Again, Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Continuing on in verse 13, and this is our fourth step. He is the one who sanctifies you. This is the end of verse 13. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. What is it? You're sanctified. You are sanctified. You are made saints. You have been made holy. Now, this idea of being sanctified, we understand that means been set apart. You're no longer with the people where God's wrath abides over them. You have been taken out from under God's wrath. You have been set apart from destruction, and you have been set apart for holy uses. That's good. That's beautiful. That's life. That's wonderful. He set you apart, and now having been set apart, in what ways does he continue to set you apart? In what ways does he continue to separate you from those who are being destroyed? But with his commands. You now walk in life. You no longer walk in the footsteps of shadow, of darkness, of sin, in the pathways of the world. You are set apart from a common use to a holy use. You now are used by God. He is the one who sanctifies you. Now, as he's sanctifying you, there's this work, this ongoing work that's going to take place. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we see him doing that work in your hearts. It is him who is sanctifying you. It is him who is working this out in you. It's him who is reforming your hearts. And as he is reforming your hearts, we are also working out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we are living in the light and living in such ways that God is glorified. And we see here, in accordance with this, a part of that is in keeping the Sabbath. Now, why? Why do we do it? One, because he says so, but he also puts the Sabbath in a special category. And this brings us to our fifth step. The Sabbath is holy to you. Verse 14. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it surely shall be put to death, for whoever does any work on it. All right, so it being holy, what holy stuff do we have? We don't have a lot of holy stuff anymore, do we? We don't have a tabernacle. We do not have an Ark of the Covenant. We do not have the lampstands anymore. We don't even have legitimate relics that have been preserved from the time of Christ. If he wanted to do that, he could have done that. If he wanted us to have images of Jesus, he could have had somebody do a great portrait of him. That could have been preserved. If he wanted to do that, he would have done that. He could have made a bust of himself. If he wanted to do that, he could have done it. He could have had artists make statues of what Peter actually looked like. If he wanted to do that, he would have done that. But he hasn't done that. He hasn't left us with holy stuff anymore. The holy things that we have now are what we do. We have the sacraments. We have baptism. It's a thing that we do that he has given us. We have the Lord's Supper. He did not provide us with recipes for the bread or anything. But it's a thing that we do. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we see here that we also have the Sabbath. That it's holy. It's what we do. We demonstrate ourselves to be in this relationship with him by what we do. We are sanctified and set apart. He is the Lord who sanctifies us. The Sabbath is holy. It is set apart from a common use to a holy use. It's what we do. Now, having something that's holy, there's also a threat with that. The holy thing's great. The holy thing's wonderful. The holy thing's exciting. It was a piece for awe as we looked at the tabernacle. It was beautiful, amazing, shocking. But you also were killed if you did the wrong thing with it. And here we see the same concept. There is a threat with the Sabbath. You keep it holy so that you do not profane it. Now, for those of us who have had any experience feeling as if we've been profaned, someone we love has been profaned, some dark thing has happened, it makes us sick in our gut. Something that's supposed to be special has been used for something vile, something vulgar. We hate it. Well, we should be considering the Sabbath in that way. He has called it holy, and he has said it is holy for you, and this is a sign of our relationship one with another. There's a glorious weight with it, and it is glorious when it is used correctly. Now, how do we do that? Well, the truth is, you can't keep the Sabbath by winging it. You can't just wing it and pull it off. Verse 15, this is our sixth step, which is plan for complete rest from 6 day exertions. Verse 15, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. And whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. If we went back and looked at as the manna was provided, when the manna was provided, you took in twice as much as you needed on the day before so that you wouldn't have to do the work on the next day. As I've worked with people in the community and they say again and again and again, I'll see you on Sunday. I'll be there Sunday. And I always intend to start keeping track of when they say it and how often it actually happens. I'm going to say about 98% of the time it's not true. So when I hear it, figure it's 98% likely I've just been lied to. You can't wing it and keep the Sabbath holy. It takes effort and it takes preparation to keep the Sabbath. You have to lay out your clothes ahead of time, maybe. You might have to do laundry. You have to plan your meals ahead of time. You have to be in the place where you can roll through the day giving it to the Lord. Now, the 6 days of exertion, and I'm saying it that way because there are other things that might not be your work, but they might be exertion that really isn't appropriate for the Lord's Day. There are people who say, I worship in my own way. Now, it makes me just want to run straight to Nadab and Abihu and run straight to Cain. Worshiping in your own way has never been popular with God. In fact, it's a dreadful idea. I do for you, God, what I feel like doing is the statement that says, I worship in my own way. It's making it about us and not about him. When he has stated, this is what it means to count me holy, to count my day holy, that's not a place for us to get creative. We do what he has said. So this day from exertion, and I'm going to pull out from Isaiah 58:13. We'll be coming to that in the last step as well. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, that means that fishing is not worshiping God. The Super Bowl is not worshiping God. For me, I may consider running relaxing, but it's not worshiping God on his day. It's not what he has called us to. We turn from our exertions and we turn from doing our own pleasure on his day and do the things that are supposed to be pleasurable to us. And this brings us to our seventh step, which is celebrate the Sabbath. Verse 16, so the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Some of you pull this off, and I'm impressed. Some of you have told me that the Sabbath is your favorite day. Way to go. You are thinking about the Sabbath correctly. Keep it up, and maybe I should be getting some advice from you. It's not that I have another day that's better, but sometimes interacting with people is hard. Showing up somewhere on the day that no one's writing a paycheck and showing up on time, sometimes that's hard. For those of us who have had small children and those of you who will have small children, it's going to be hard. It's rough. And I'm grateful for you, and I'm thankful that you are able to call the Sabbath a delight. And I'm thankful for you that it's your favorite day of the week. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. And each of us are to move our hearts into that place where we see that it's love. And that it's life. That it's the fellowship in God, and it's our fellowship with one another. We are actually to celebrate the Sabbath, and it says throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. That covenant is that stated relationship. He says, this is what our relationship is. He lays out the relationship. That's the nature of our covenant with God. When God showed up. He was present. When he was present with Adam and Eve in the garden, he says, this is our relationship. This is how you act towards me. When he comes and meets Abraham, he says, this is our relationship. This is how you act towards me. When he rescues the Israelites, he says, this is our relationship. This is how you act towards me. And here now, as we are engrafted into Israel, he continues to say, this is our relationship. This is how you relate to me. I am your God. You are my people. And when our heart is in the right place, Isaiah 58:13-14, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And we'll just roll right into Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Sabbath can be that for you. It can be a whole day of rejoicing. A whole day. Who would like to have a whole day every week of rejoicing with the Lord? Well, surprise. You get it. That's his desire for you. And when you participate in it, and you do it, you will ride on the heights of the earth. You will be blessed. You will be strengthened. And the sign that you wear says, I am his. He is mine. He is my Lord. Delight yourself in the Sabbath. Count God's day as holy. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you speak life to us, that you have been patient with us, and that you give us opportunity to rejoice in you and to rejoice in your truth. Be glorified as we love you. Be glorified as we keep your day and as we walk in your truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.